It's not my message, it's just an opening statement. If you can recall, many years back then, the euphoria, pandemonium that spread throughout the whole earth. Man landed on the moon. Of course, there's those that come around and say, no, they didn't do it. It's all one big conspiracy theory. You know, it's fake and whatnot. But man landed on the moon. Whoa. The whole earth was excited. Now, God came to earth. Can you beat that? Think about that. The infinite God, eternal God, the awesome God, creator of the universe, the timeless God, the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, the almighty God came to earth. In a week's time, you know, so I just want to set the stage correctly to ponder about this. It's not, yeah, and also, you know, ponder on all the feasting that can happen. But as children of God, it's a very solemn moment to think about it. His love, His passion for souls, His heart for mankind came to earth. And you and I have been reconciled. So my message this morning is totally on a different tangent. That was just a intro or a segue into my message. Are we recording this, bro? We are. All right. My message is encounter with God. Well, big word. Encounter with God. It's not for the elite few. It's not for the hermit who lives in a cave and, you know, don't eat, fast, and 60 days and just seeking God. No. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Encounter. Of course, we know what it means, but I would like to put it up there. The British version and the American version pretty much, you know, look, something unexpected. Something, you encounter something, could be positive, could be negative. Something that takes you totally by surprise. Encounter. When I encountered Dorothy, she blew my socks off and I was... We never look back. It's an experience. Totally unexpected. It could be a conflict, could be a contest, contend with, encounter. The year is coming to an end. A couple of weeks. We say goodbye to 2018. We say hello to 2019. The last message I shared was being ambassadors for Christ over the summer. Of course, there can be a sequel to that. But I want to set something like what Khan shared last week. Forget those things behind. Look ahead. So I'd like to look into, Lord, what's up in 2019? How can I brace myself? How can I prepare myself for 2019? And most of you, you don't know me, you know, we've been here years. And my heart, my passion is for souls. My heart, or the Father's heart, is for every seat to be filled up and people hungry for God. Not just drink and then run off as leaky vessel, but drink and drink and drink and be used in God's kingdom. So, 10:10, we know this verse. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, the first part. But I come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's what Jesus has promised. But I've come to give you life. Not just same old life, but life more abundantly. Alright? We're going to take our time. Let's not rush through. Okay, come on. Diddy. Okay. Now, encountering God is necessary. Before we do that, but don't feel bad if you don't have a compelling or propelling experience about encountering God. Like, I haven't had this experience, I feel bad. Or, no, oh man, I wish. No. Like I said, it's not exclusive. God is no respecter of persons. It's an all-inclusive invitation to the life with God. You need to encounter God to start off a relationship with Him. What do you mean? What do you mean? I need to encounter God to start off my relationship with Him. Have you ever, you know, you come into a conversation, you meet people, and then suddenly, man, I could talk to that person like as though I've known him for years. It just clicked. You speak to somebody, and you know, somehow there's a spirit to spirit connection. Like, hey, man, we just clicked. Yeah, that's the experience. Like, was so much at home. Hello. And that's what happens when you encounter with God. It is subtle. You know, like, and you suddenly feel like, oh, it's the Spirit tugging within you. God is Spirit, touches you. And you feel like, your walls just come down. There's no defense mechanism. There's no buts and ifs. You just click. Okay? So, sometimes we think encountering God is,
I can already hear your voice. This is God speaking.
Bam, lightning, thunder. No. It's very subtle. Sometimes it could be God speaks to people, and somehow not the person but the words being spoken and the manner is being delivered in the situation you're in speaks to your spirit. And you realize, whoa, where did that come from? How did that happen? Now, that's the subtlety of how the Spirit talks to your spirit. And in that moment, your spiritual eyes or ears is awakened. And you say, whoa, that must be God. Seize those moments. Cherish those moments. Because those moments are the birth of your spiritual encounter to come. More encounters to come. Right? Encountering with God builds faith. When you seize those moments, it's like a seed. God's word is a living word. Every time the word is being spoken, it's the seed. Seed is not meant to be put in your pocket or tucked away. Seeds are meant to be sown, to let it grow. God's word is a seed. It comes into our spirit. Our heart is the soil where the spirit, the seed is planted. And over the course of time, faith grows. But I heard that word before. Lord, that seed you planted, you're replanting it again. What's going on? No. Seed is meant to grow. Growth in your spirit is supposed to blossom. Harvest time is coming. And as harvest comes, the tree that bears the fruit can't eat of its own fruit. You hear me now? It's others can eat of the fruit. An apple tree can't taste itself and say, oh man, I'm so sweet and nice. No, it bears fruit for the benefit of other people, for other consumers. Likewise, each one of us has got gifts and talents to use for the benefit of the whole family, and in so doing, it all points to the sower, the Father who gives all good things. So encountering God builds faith. It motivates you to go on. But, hey Fred, you know, come on, let's get real. There are times I feel bad. There are my, you know, not happy days. There are those days I feel down and out. And I feel dry. I feel discouraged. And that's when you got to lean on to your faith. You got to strengthen in those times of, you know, the hard knocks and down the valley. It's those times when you recall, oh Lord, the mountaintop experiences. God has put you there. God has been faithful and brought you through those valleys and took you up to the mountaintop experiences. And it's when you're down in the valley, it's when you start recalling, God has been faithful. This too shall pass. And sometimes, you know, you have to speak it out and say, no, God, you've been faithful. What you have promised will always come to pass because you're the one who's the Alpha and the Omega. You're going to pull me through once again. And this is how David faced Goliath, right? David said, Goliath, I welcome the bears and the lions, and, you know, you're just one of the stirs himself up. He never wallowed himself in that misery. That faith that was planted as a seed started burning in his spirit and seeing the finished works and knowing that, hey, he has called me, will lead me through this and I'll rise up again. Alright? So yeah, abundant life. Remember, there's dry days, but then in those dry periods, that's where faith steps in and propel you or push you. Keep going forward, you know, don't go back. Don't look back. Like a pond shed last week. Look ahead. Encounters with God are not too far away. In Jeremiah 29:13, he says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Encountering God is not just, like I say, once a lifetime experience. Experiencing Him, knowing Him, is continuously. It's like a cycle. It keeps going on and on. And every time when you... It's like we've heard this being shared here many times. It's like a radio channel. Tuning your radio to 99.1 and you know you slowly go to the left, it's 89.9. No. Go to the right. Until it's on sync. Then you get the station loud and clear. And God is speaking all the time. Always. God is communing with us all the time. In Psalms 145 verse 18, we read, "The Lord is near to all who call Him." Do I have the scriptures there? Here we go. "The Lord is near to all who call Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And there are times we say, you know, like, okay, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. What about Paul? Was he brokenhearted when he encountered God? Before encountering God, what was Paul's character like? He's the persecutor of Christians. He went about arresting and throwing Christians into jail so that they can be killed. He's the one who was Mr. Hitman. He was riding on his horse, going about his job. God encountered him. Paul wasn't in a humble state to say, "God, I want to see you." No. He was very arrogant. "I'm the best of the best. I'm the most learned. You know, you guys," you know, he always boasts of himself. Arrogant, aloof, proud. But still God say, yo, "Hey Paul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting my people?" Sam knocked him off his horse, blinded him. What does that mean? That means if you're proud, watch out. God still can get you. You know, if you're high and mighty, God will get you too. Right? So that's what it means. God reached out to Paul and touched his life and turned his life around, and we know all about him. Even those who hate God can still encounter God. God loves those, you know, like John 3:16, He loved. It's a sovereign plan. That God opposes to the proud but give grace to the humble. You want to be on this side of the camp. I remember when I was growing up, my pastor would share the message of the cross. He said, "I'd rather be saved by grace than to be saved by his rod." And it takes out, he had an accident and wears a wooden leg from the knee down and takes out the foot. Look at me. I ran away from God and I was tough. I thought I was a tough guy until God had to take away part of my body for me to turn my life around. And yeah, I mean, being a little kid, it's, whoa, that was frightening. Whoa, I don't want to, you know, like, God will either get you by grace or get you by the hook. You don't want to be caught by hook. It's painful. Pastor Sam, remember that, dear? But God gives grace to the humble and resists the proud. So what happened then? So the saints then, throughout the Bible, they were humble. They were seeking after God. They were righteous in their character. They prayed earnestly with reverence to Him. And God consistently met them where they were and encountered them. Ordinary folks. Like they say, 12 people turned the world upside down. 12 people And we heard it before. God could do that. God can do it now. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Does not change. Those were fishermen. Were more than fishermen. Sometimes fishing takes a whole day. You can't get one fish, nothing to brag about, but you get a lot of sunfishes all that just frustrate you, I know. Brother John, but then imagine the Spirit said, imagine reaching out for one lost soul. It could take you something, a year, years. But the celebration that happens in heaven over one lost soul, God leaves the 99 to go for the one. That's the heart of the Father. Ooh. Bro? Okay. Call to action. So stay humble. Call to action. Now, the experience that you have had with God. Okay, each one of us experience God in different ways. All of us bring together a very rich, not just culture, but experience as well with God through life's journey, where we've been, how He has brought us through to God's faithfulness and providence, to where we are today, and because we can attest to His faithfulness, and to see with the eyes of faith what God's going to do in next year and onwards. If you see failures, like when you recite there, the future doesn't hold much hope. But if you see those things and say, God's in control, God knows through me He's going to do some miracle, He's going to propel me, future looks bright. So, if how you see it, I want you to see with the eyes of faith that God can do and can save to the uttermost. Right? It's impossible. God cannot be saved. Yeah, in your eyes. It's in your eyes. But is it in His eyes? In His eyes, He can save the cross, the two thieves at the cross, a dying moment. He can save. And we hear a testimony of PC's mom. Call to action. Cherish those times when you have encounters with God. Because God is not just a one-time experience. God is the encounter with God is continuous. Small things. Remember, He doesn't speak in thunder and lightning and earthquakes and whatnot and with a loud voice. It comes soft, gentle. And then you realize, oh, it must be God. In whatever you're doing, in the sewing, sometimes ideas come. And so, whoa, I didn't see that. It must be God. Cherish those moments because those are like faith driving you on and on. So, how do you encounter God? That's my question. No, let me go back here. Call to action. How do you encounter Him? Have a curious mind. When you come to the house of the Lord, have a spirit of expectation of meeting with the Father, communing with the Son, and fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Because remember, is spirit to spirit. Have that curious mind. Lord, Sunday is an awesome time when I could come and participate in Your house and to be fed, not just physically, but to be fed spiritually, because Your seed that is going to be planted is going to grow, is going to mature, take root and grow. And as you look back, you won't be the same person, because as the seed is implanted, the Holy Spirit will cause it to grow. You put it, like physically, you put a seed in the ground, you don't see it, but something's happening, man. Something's really happening. When I was raking my garden over the autumn, you know, getting all the leaves, getting ready, then I started seeing all my avocado plants. Oh, dead, those guys are. I thought it never grew. It all came out like that. Oh, those, I had about 3 or 4 avocado shoots, you know, like, ah! Well, hidden in all my tomato plants and whatnot. I say, I gave up hope on them growing. I planted like 6 in a row, but I didn't see it. Of course, it was my tomato plants, sort of, they grow wild. I say, okay, next season. So coming to the house of God, come with an expectation to commune. Come with expectation, Lord, there's going to be an encounter once again. I'm going to hear you once again. I want to be encouraged in my faith. Yet the week has been tough. The week has been as well, been put into a dryer, been tumbled, been, you know, beaten up. But when I come, my spirit is yearning, hungry, waiting, expecting, anticipating. Because faith is going to propel me to the next step. So questions I have for you. What if you encounter God today, and what would you do? These are rhetorical questions, you don't need to answer them. Encountering with God is actually very serious. It matters to me personally, you know, like, and I've encountered Him over the course of my walk with Him. Of course, you all know my latest episode, but there's one encounter with God that I could, that's so solidified, and I don't mind sharing with y'all once again. The love of the Father. I lost my dad when I was 14. I had what you call an absent father. He works away out of town. He comes back for his summer vacation, spends a week or two, and then he's gone again. My relationship with my dad was that casual. He would tell me, buy me my beer, go to the store, get me my beer. And, you know, a little kid, you don't buy him his beer, but make sure the beer bottle is wrapped in newspaper so nobody can see, you know. Hey, Dad, here's your beer. And then you say, you want to go fishing? Say, yes, Dad. Okay, go and dig me the worms. I say, okay, Dad. So I'll take the hoe and go to the yard or wherever I can find and dig him a can of worms. Going fishing with Dad was like, whoa, so euphoria. Oh, man, all excited. I just had a pole and a line, you know. Pole and line, a piece of wood as the float. Man, it was so exciting. And that's as much interaction I had with my dad. There was nothing physical, no hugs, no sitting down and talking. No, I didn't grow up with that, you know. So, at 14, when he passed away, you know, I had to handle all the affairs of the family, thrust into the spotlight of taking charge of the family, going to lawyers, settling dad's estate. Mom was a Chinese, don't understand English. So whatever, speaking to the lawyer, I say, he has to dumb it down many times over so I could then explain to Mom. In a service one day, way back then in Brooklyn School, Spirit of God touch the speaker, we're talking about the love of the Father. Somehow it broke me, touched my heart, and I started bawling at the seat. I started bawling. I came up, gave Pastor a hug, and the message was love of the Father. I never experienced the Father's love. And this is the spiritual Father. And so He loves you. You know? And, you know, that experience really shook me. My kids were little. My children were little. Following week, I flew out to B.C. Kamloops with one of the church brothers. We were going on fishing. We were just meeting up to the family, his family. And that Sunday we went to church. It was in Kamloops. Yeah, a big church. I sat right at the back. And we said, you don't want to be up front. Sit at the back. You know, service was good. Service was good until the pastor said something like, I know you're seated at the back. You can't hide. And I want to tell you this. The love of the Father is so real and he wants you to know that. Who told him? What? And I started bawling again. And 1 week before it happened in our church. The second week it happened is now in BC. And that's how the Father is. It's always earnestly desiring to commune, to embrace, to touch. And when that happened, I looked at her, she said, talk to me. I cried again, you know, like it's like a confirmation of the Father's love. Once I received that, it broke down all the barriers. And although I lacked my physical Father's love, I know my Heavenly Father loves me. And I can be so assured that this love has sustained not just me, my family, or the Gamash clan, the Gamash family. It's like a solidified. And that's why I'm so passionate to share the love of the Father. I'm so passionate to share that souls missing out the Father's love. From that experience on, I cherish that. I carry that with me always. And every day there's always something new. Always something new. Walking with God is not just Sunday, let me tell you. Walking with God is every day. It's an exciting time. And it is even more exciting than Indiana Jones. I remember sharing with y'all once before. Or MacGyver, whatever it is, you know. It's so exciting following God. All it takes is a willing heart to stand aside and say, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let me encounter you. 2019 is pretty soon. If I haven't encountered you, Father, let it be soon. I know you speak in small whispers. I don't want to rush through. And there are times when I sense the love of the Father is so thick in this house that all we have to do is just embrace, soak in the love of the Father. Many a times we rush things through. We rush because we got so many things, agenda, so many things lined up. We got to go here, we got to do it. That's another tool of the enemy used for us to get out of here fast. Go, you know, we're all caught up in this fasting, you know, slow down. I share with you that my testimony to encourage you, and you have not had an encounter, to say, God, let me have an encounter. Let me have. If you experience negativity, have gone through negative stuff, you know, don't dwell there. Okay? God can pull you through and move you towards His calling, His agenda, what He wants to see accomplished. So if you're curious and say, yes, I am curious, 2019 will be a very interesting year because I'm curious, and Lord, you're going to lead me, you're going to guide me, and I'm going to stand and proclaim you are faithful. When you call me, you are faithful. So, and the other thing is, serve Him in any capacity. Serve Him? What? How? Get involved. Get involved in any capacity. You don't have enough workers in the house. How can I help? What can I do? Oh, the toilet needs cleaning. I can clean the toilet. I don't care. You know? There's so much things to be done in God's house. God's house? Yeah, God's house. How much effort do you put in maintaining your house? Your own house. Make it beautiful. Make it pleasant. You've got guests coming. You bring out the best china. Make it nice. I sweep the floor all the time. I love sweeping floors. For me, it's therapeutic. Samson, get out. Move away. You prepare the home, your home, you make it nice, your abode for your children, you make it comfortable. When you come here, God's house, how much effort do I put, I need to put in? More than what I put in my house, for sure. When I give God, I don't give Him second best, I give Him my best. I do my best. Everything I do unto the Lord will be like an act of worship. If we have that mindset, that all we do for the Lord is not a chore, but an act of worship. I put out the chair, banners, sound system, the board outside, set up a Sunday school. Everything I do is an act of worship. I don't need to get accolades from one another. I don't need to say, hey, good job. No, please. Things need to be done. So that when my guest comes, when the people who are coming to the Father's house will be comfortable and experience the love of the Father. Because if His love is in my spirit, in my heart, there's no way for it to be expressed until I put my hands to the plow and move forward. You follow me? Many a time we have this mindset, that's not my job, that's somebody else's job. Sure. That's my, if one day Dorothy comes, turns around and tells me, it's not my job to cook. What happened? Okay, sure, then I'll start cooking myself or eating whatever I cook. Or, oh, there goes my hunger. Or, you know, like, It's our job, all of us, everything. You see something that needs to be done? Just do it. Just do it. I recently came from an interview Wednesday in a panel. I say my background, my work is maintenance and in engineering maintenance. It's fixing broken stuff and getting things back online and cutting out the triage, the gap as short as possible. I have a fireman mentality. Break, fix it. Okay? Fire, like Brother Dave, fire burning, put it out. That's not a time to have the mindset of a policeman. When there's a fire burning, you're not there saying, who did this? What is this? What is this? What's going on? Did you do this? Hey, what's going on? That's not your job. That's a policeman's job. Your job, fireman, put it out. After that, then you go and do investigation. Okay, who did this? What the heck? Is there an arson around here? So just like in any environment, if there's something needs to be done, just do it. Later on, just, okay, what happened? Why? Who? Why? You know, God loves us. His house is paramount. His house, His Spirit, the King of Kings, imagine. Christmas around the corner. God, the eternal God, dwelt with us, came down and dwelt with us. He comes in here as Spirit to dwell with us. He doesn't deserve second best. He's absolute. He deserves not just the bestest. That we can only give what we know how to give, our all in all. I've said before too, in terms of worship, songs we sing, the writers write, there are a lot of very inspiring songs. The words mean a lot to the writer, the way it's supposed to be sung. The passion they put into writing those songs. I can't just melt those words. I gotta embrace it, put myself into that mindset. I gotta empathize with the songwriter and see from his viewpoint and sing with the same passion. If God says He loves you and in His word is a seed, He means what He says. Embrace it, cherish it, nurture it, and say, I want to encounter You once again, Lord. Fresh fire, fresh wind, rekindle the love. Maybe my walk with You has been 20 years, 30 years walking with You. So much so I put into auto, just autopilot. Now, time to say, hey, there's so much adventure still left ahead. And when you call, He'll come and rescue. He'll come. That's it. That is why when we have testimonies, it's testimony to share, encourage, strengthen, solidify, not just our relationship with Him, but to build the body up. Because He who called us is faithful. Amen? With that I close. You can stop that thing. We bless you with